from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Fortier.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Oh my goodness. You must be wondering out there, what happened? 2 weeks of, I think it's been 2 weeks, or maybe a little bit longer than 2 weeks of no shows. I have to ask some of you if you're okay. I have to put that out there. There was a couple of, like, very capital locks emails being like, where's the show? Help me! Or did something happen to you? No, just took 2 weeks off. Everything's okay now.
Well, unlike other times where you take time off, you actually had a justification for this time off. You were traveling. You traveled across Canada in a train, right?
Well, that's how I left Calgary to come to Montreal. So the big news is that we're back to the way that things were right now. Like, I'm back in Montreal, which means that we're no longer having to do conversations over Skype.
We are sitting across from each other. I have to look at Jake's ugly face and breathe his smelly breath.
I will admit, my face has probably gotten somewhat uglier, and my breath has not improved.
Well, welcome back. It is nice to have you back.
Thank you.
If only because fuck Skype.
Jeez, take it easy. I know that Skype is now owned by Microsoft, but you don't have to hate it that much. It's still, you know what? If it wasn't for Skype, my life wouldn't be where it is now, so I can't hate it.
It's one of those things. You ever look at your iPhone and you go, fucking piece of shit, iPhone, doesn't do what I want.
Yeah.
It's an amazing piece of technology.
It is amazing.
It is the 21st century tricorder. It is everything that
but
we need.
But sexier.
Yeah.
It just doesn't do as much.
It even beats Star Trek.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't do as much because the things that a tricorder does is written into the script. Much harder to do. It's like, I'm detecting signs of all of these elements in the air. Really? Holy shit. Like, just floating around? Must be really sensitive material.
Look,
right there.
I can understand why a tricorder in Star Trek world would be set up. It's kind of like you load up your phone with the apps that you need, and if you're going to go on other planets where you're just going to beam down without any kind of headgear on, you know, I'm just going to breathe.
Not even a spacesuit. You're in pajamas the whole time. That's how they go traveling. They're in onesies in outer space.
The Japanese don't even walk on their own streets without wearing a white mask over their face. Yet these guys are tripsing across the galaxy wearing just out there in the elements. I know it's just a plot convenience, a story, just something that allows the story to continue on without everybody wearing spacesuits all the time, but I'm just pointing
you know
out.
It's not even a plot convenience, because I'll tell you one thing. James Cameron, when he made the movie what was it? The Abyss, all right? The one that's underwater.
Sure.
James Cameron, being the crazy mad genius that he is, decided, well, typical underwater masks don't allow you to see the face, so I'm going to design new water masks. And he did. The masks that he developed for underwater, they work. It's just that he was like, well, with this technique, now you can see the actors' faces, so I've invented a new thing, and I patented it.
Yeah.
James Cameron, you're just such a weird, brilliant man. I love and hate you.
Yeah, I hate you for Avatar, just because it wasn't as awesome as everybody said it was. But I love you because, you know, it's funny. Remember when that whole, you know, thousands of gallons of oil leaking out into
no,
the ocean
I don't remember
thing.
That at all,
remember
actually.
That?
No,
and everybody made a big joke of James Cameron was like, hey, I'll help you guys. And everyone's like, oh, listen to Mr. Avatar coming to the rescue. It's like, well, when he did The Abyss, that was all about deep water mining and existing down there.
It wasn't just The Abyss. It was mostly Titanic. In fact, he sponsored a lot of the trips back down there and brought shit up. Like, James Cameron, I think he's an honorary member of a couple of scientific societies. So, just because he is the equivalent of, what was the name of that? Robert Hooke. Or is it Haley? No, I think it was Robert Hooke. Like, adventurer slash scientist, where you're like, I'm going out into, like, he's the one who basically dared, who in a bet, dared Isaac Newton to essentially settle the argument of how the planets move and so on and so forth. Which is why you have, like, Newton's theory of gravity. A bet. Is it Hooke? I don't quite remember.
It is Hooke.
Yay!
With an E at the end, not like,
I
say,
know.
Captain Hooke.
I know. It was Robert Hooke, though, right? Is it Robert?
It's Robert Hooke.
Fuck,
you
yeah.
were. You are correct, sir. 2 points to Gryffindor.
Yay! And when I'm wrong, you can all go boo, but privately.
Send angry emails.
Please don't.
Well, you know, getting back to that, angry emails and such, I was sitting down and taking a look at everything, and you know, I thought we were a lot worse than we actually are as far as missing shows. Typically, it doesn't drop below 3 a month, three bonus or three regular. We're getting at least 6 out a month. There were only 2 months where we only did 4 shows.
Really? So yeah. I keep thinking that it just got horribly bad because when you fall off that super consistent, I mean for us, of 2 shows a week, not consistent when they go up, but still consistent of them going up,
of them happening, of them being in a space, people being able to listen to them eventually.
Well, think about this. If you're wondering, like, wow, it seems like it's been so long since there was a show, that's only because in the span of 2 weeks, you're missing, like, that's 4 shows, right?
And heaven forbid you're one of the people who listens to our Fight podcast as well. We so sorry!
I know, if you add the Fight podcast, that's 8 shows that we didn't do in the span of 2 weeks. So anybody that was listening to, essentially, we'll say just 8 hours for 2 weeks of shows would be like, what's happening? 4 hours a month of things that I don't have. And we're here to tell you that, we're back to the regular schedule now, so you don't need to panic anymore. You can get your crack fixed, but there will be some news about how the crack is going to be distributed now.
Well, the cool thing with Jake being back is it definitely makes, trust me, it makes it so much easier when you're in the same house. So that and some other awesome changes. I don't want to say, we're not going to say big things coming up again, are we? Because
no, we will.
Don't say that. I hate that. Big things coming up. The amazing stuff that's happening is the podcast magic blasting out at y'all. It's just
blasting you right in the face.
Right in the face.
With our kind of internet jism. And we're trying to spread our love.
Yeah.
Just like trees do. Not just humans who jizz. It's trees too.
But yeah, we won't say there's big things. You'll just see big things. And until then, just enjoy this atheisty magic that we're going to weave here for you.
Speaking of, let's talk about atheism in general. Now, I know that people who listen to the show are probably, the last few episodes were kind of dark, Jake. Are you getting peeved with the scene and you were talking about these other projects? Are they going to take over? No. Okay, first and foremost, I think the one thing that the entire time I was away from Montreal, like my lesson in the past 7 months, if you're like, Jacob, what have you learned? I would tell you this. I have learned that it's really important to create a sense of worth for what you make when you're making it. I can't stress this enough. I know there's probably a lot of people out there that work on projects or even want to start their own projects, and they wonder, what do I need to get started? My answer is, find out a way that when you work with rewards in mind, with goals in mind that make sense. Otherwise, you're just always thinking that everything you produce is worthless. You get caught in what we were calling before the slog?
The slog.
The slog, where you're just doing something and you don't know if it has a purpose. I was reading this book. I'm going to link this in the notes. It's The Upside of Irrationality. It's by the same guy who did Predictably Irrational. It's an excellent book. I recommend it. It will also blow your mind when you read the first chapter when the guy talks about burns that he suffered on 70% of his body due to, like, magnesium burns. And you're like,
burned by magnesium?
By magnesium!
How did that... Did he fall into a vat, like, some in Batman or something?
Yeah, he's the Joker. No, I don't quite know what happened. I think it was an accident where he worked. Anyways, a really bad third-degree burns, and we're talking everywhere. And then during the whole process where they're giving him blood and trying to attach the skin on him, unfortunately, he gets blood that's contaminated with hepatitis. And they don't know what kind, but it's affecting his ability for the skin to stay on him. They're grafting from other areas of his skin. No! You know, like, that's the skin you want to hold, because if it doesn't, it's gone. You know what I mean? Anyway, so he talks about the entire time where, you know, this is going through, like, this is a significant life experience, but he uses it to explain the irrational side of humanity, which that's his first book, The Upside The Predictably Irrational. His other book, the one that I'm reading now, talks about kind of like this, there's this element that the irrationality of human beings is actually sometimes beneficial. You know, we benefit from the fact that we're irrational because we're We love each other. Don't you think that's irrational to love someone? I mean, it can't be an exercise in rationality.
Especially when they're only going to hurt you.
Yeah, they will hurt you. But, well, I mean, that's the price you pay. But anyways, in the book, one of his students asks him the most interesting fucking question, and it bugged me for days. His student asks him, if you had a job where you had to produce something, let's say a website, or say in your case, you had to write 6 posts a day for a blog, and you were being paid well to do this, actually. Let's say you were being paid $70,000 a year, and I know you would love to be paid $70,000 to write, but there's a catch. The catch is that everything that you produce gets deleted, and no one will ever read it. How would it feel? And the answer is horrible. You would not accept that. At first, you might, because you need the money, let's face it, today's economy, right? You would be tempted, but in the end, you would have detested it, because you need purpose. I mean, it's so fucked up that even our pets, all right, if you have a dog, let's say, and he's being depressed, he's like, oh no, why is my dog not eating? Well, there's evidence to suggest that animals like to work too. If they don't feel like they have a purpose, if they're just given food, they might become depressed or feel worthless. You're not the only one that feels value from work, right? But again, I mean, from the perspective that you're trying to control your own content production, which is where we were, right? We're idiots because we have absolutely no idea how to create the standard rewards that we would feel from what we make. As far as we're concerned, even though we get the occasional person saying, hey, I love what you do, as far as we're concerned, because of the way, the isolation of our medium, there's no way to really appreciate the value of what you write, because as far as you're concerned, it could be deleted and it would have no purpose.
Well, I figure, you know, technology has a problem with this. You look at your Google Analytics, and I remember back in the day when I started up my blog.
It's never enough.
And you get 200 people who visit your blog, and you're like, holy shit, mm-hmm. Yeehaw!
First 200.
Do a big dig and just dance around, and you're happy, and then a month later, you're like, 200 people? God!
No, it's like, why isn't it moving? What, 200 was it? Is that it? Is that all I'm capable of? So yeah, this weird thing happens when you get... like I'll say, right when you get, I don't want to say moderately successful, but when you just get to a certain point where it's the slog, you know, you're at high numbers, people would kill for your numbers, but you have just become really accustomed to it, which is a weird thing, but it makes sense. That's how we are, right? We evolve, we adapt, and that's a good and the bad. That's a good and the bad. The problem of adapting is that it's not a very rewarding thing to just coast. So you have to have something that's just planned out, goals for yourself, all these things. And you know what? We were at a point, at least I was at a point at TGA, where I didn't know what the goal was beyond what I was producing. And it's the same deal. Like, might as well just get deleted. Or, you know, or is it really getting listened to? I don't feel every listen. I suppose if I had a thing that was hooked up to my balls, giving me an electric shock every time a podcast would listen, I would wake up. I wouldn't be as, I don't know, depressed as I was before.
You could say it's stupid, because that's what it is, us being stupid.
Yeah, well, it is the predictably irrational part of ourselves that we have to constantly fight. But again, I mean, you have your upswings, downswings. I think for me, the lesson that I learned is that I feel so much more refreshed when at least I take a bit of time off. Never go for the slog, guys. Plan your fucking time around a little bit of a break, because even when you do something you love, if it's just an obligation that's every day, you will feel the obligation more than you feel the pleasure for what you were doing. And that is just messed.
And that is 99% of everybody stuck in a 9-to-5 job. Sorry, guys.
Well, even people who are stuck in 9-to-5 jobs, they didn't start off hating their jobs. It's just they might be in the same position where everything they produce no longer seems like it has any value, because they know where it goes. It goes in that big fucking bin where no one reads what you did.
You know what I'm going to throw out there? I think all of, like, this is all...
Conjecture?
No, it's all... It's all ape stuff and goes away once you unlock that magical ape brain juice called having a kid. And all of a sudden, the slog is the whole point, because you're no longer the most important thing. Your brain will generate the drugs that you need to slog on and slog on. Everything is good. You pour everything into your little fucking imp.
Wiener.
And then you die, and he goes on, and he does the same thing, and he feels miserable and confused until he gets a kid. And then raises that up, feeling content until he dies, and so on and so on.
Well, that's the
such is the
version.
Human condition, my friend.
That's the idyllic version. But we have a, probably a few listeners that are just big disappointments to their genetic fucking.
Well, I'm glad you put that into people's minds. That's great.
I have to. You know, there's something before we go into the topics for the show, because you know today's show is going to be a bit of a treat for everybody. I know that there's probably a few structure Nazis out there still left would be like, please, Jacob, can you give me a really clear idea of what we're going to talk about? I'll tell you that, one, we have two main topics that we're going to talk about. One is the shit, fucked up shit in Indonesia that a fan sent me. And the second is a bunch of evangelicals trying to pretend that they can still have their cake and eat it too when it comes to accepting science. But before we start, I just got a couple little stories that I've just been storing up. I don't know if they bug me, but I think that's part of the show that people like, and I'm like, I got plenty. 2 weeks off means you guys got, like, I don't know how much. If Ryan asks me the right questions, I could talk all day.
You got hours of podcasting stored up in you. You're constipated, and this is the big laxative that's just going to fucking blow it out.
I had a stool softener. It was called some time off, and now I'm ready to let go. I was at the bank the other day, and there was a girl. I could tell that she was probably from the Middle East. But she was obviously a Christian by the fact that she had a tattoo on her wrist that said faith. If I had to guess, based on her name, I would say Lebanese. Right?
Yeah, lots of Christian Lebanese.
Lots of. In fact, there are more Lebanese living outside of Lebanon than in Lebanon. Okay, this is a country of people trying to escape the place.
Well, considering the last few decades, not a bad idea. Lebanon, I hear, is beautiful. Actually, Beirut is one of those places, and we got a listener on here. His wife is in Beirut, his kid is in Beirut, and we were having a good conversation about how awesome Beirut is, just when the killing stops.
Let me tell you something. When the killing stops, I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to enjoy probably the greatest shawarma known to man. Like, I love their food, you know?
I'm gonna rave the hell out. I cut the F out. I'm trying to limit my F's. I know some
what?
People are. Well, just a little bit.
Please don't. Then it'll make me look more like an asshole.
Hey, you haven't even dropped an F-bomb, I think, the whole show. I'm getting pretty up there.
Mm.
Anyways, yes.
It's because I'm not quite mad. I'm still sort of like, we're still like, happy! Yay! Like, we don't have to deal with doing this online where it seems like work rather than just us chilling out and talking. That was weird, eh? When podcast was work? Shit.
Seriously.
I think the quality suffered as a result.
Never go away again.
I have to.
Stay here forever.
Oh, stay here. You know what the one thing I realized when I'm back in Montreal, by the way? The place is falling apart, bro.
Yeah, you've been talking about this since you got here. You're freaking out about it.
I'm only freaking out because I remember that when I left, I'm like, it's getting kind of bad, but yeah, it's like every city has their downside. And then I come back, and everywhere I try to go, I'm walking along these paths, I look like I'm being led to a concentration camp. You know what I mean? Like, fences everywhere. You're like, where am I going? I don't even know where I'm going. I'm just being led down this alley. This is a scary place now here. Potholes so huge that a bus fell into one. A bus! This is supposed to be a first world nation. I'm like, it doesn't look like it when I look around. It looks like a second world nation trying to pretend to be one.
Okay, well, here's the main issues. The main issues is all the highways are screwed up, and because the system in Montreal is elaborately ridiculous, we have one interchange where there's literally 20 on-ramps stacked like six stories high up over each other going
scary.
In different directions. That all has to be torn down. All of the highways are falling apart. One of our main highways in the downtown, a gigantic 30-meter cement block fell out of the ceiling of it onto the highway, so that's kind
of
scary.
Must have made a hell of a noise.
This is all stuff that's coming up. Everybody living in America, I'm sure you've read that story in the newspaper of the interchange that fell apart. Well, it's going to only be happening more
Western
and more.
Western society crumbling. That's the fucking... hear ye, a Western society is starting to feel the pressure of the fact that we no longer nationalize many of our resources. I'm like, oh, what happened?
It's worse in Montreal, though, because what happened is all the construction back in the, you know, 40s through 60s through 70s, pretty much up to even today, is all run by the mob. And, you know, you pay for X amount and what
you
do
you... You pay not to get fucking killed.
You pay for concrete and you get something that's concrete-ish.
Yeah, it's got a lot of foam in it and bits of. You know what the problem with mob concrete is? There's too many bones in there. Too many bodies.
I used to hear stories about how the Olympic Stadium was built and how that they would they would just drive dump trucks in and out all day and not unload them or reload them or anything. They would just circle around in a circle, and the construction company was getting paid per dump truck, and it was just a system that they had to just suck money out.
Good God.
Oh, well, you think there aren't many? Construction is child's play now. It's the financial markets you want to get over onto. No, I don't have a rant. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, being back in Montreal and seeing some of those changes, all I'm saying is that, well, I can definitely tell you that property value is not going to go up. I don't know if it's going to go down. But good news for anybody who doesn't want their rent to increase. There's plenty of reasons for it not to. Because many places are now inaccessible. When we go to a restaurant, I almost get run over by a fucking backhoe. Because it's digging up the entire street. And, of course, no one cares to put safety things. Safety, but, like, safety is your concern around here. It's like, well, you didn't watch your step? Didn't matter they didn't put up a barrier. You're dumb. I'd be like, well, I was coming outside of a business. Like, what's happening? No one's organizing this. This is why when I look at this, I'm like, I don't see the future being very bright. I just see a place so in need of reform that no one will do it.
I think you got a couple of ideas that are bolstered by some serious concerns, and then you're just seeing what's happening with the construction outside the house.
No, you're a bit spazzy. I'm going to tell you one thing. A movie that totally fucking changed my outlook on the way that our failures on every level is this. Watch the movie Waiting for Superman. What you'll notice from that movie, that what you'll get out of it, because it's basically the movie, which is available on Netflix, by the way, basically the documentary talks about the educational system in the U.S. Like, why do they spend so much money and nothing happens? One of the problems they have is that a teacher achieves tenure after 2 years and cannot be fired. Okay?
Well, that's certain school boards.
Well, when they showed the amount of school boards, I'm like, it might as well be all of them, because the teachers' unions in the United States are probably one of the biggest lobby groups in the world, and places which have tried to have reform have been unable to make any significant changes. We have a real problem here where, say, part of the right, you know, like the politically the right that says we need to cut taxes and we need to stop these kinds of programs, they're not wrong in the fact that we need to renegotiate most union contracts that exist in any major urban areas. These, especially Montreal, but I'm guessing it's fucking the same everywhere and for a lot of industry, because you realize that most of these contracts seem to be arranged over time to reward people and make sure that no one gets fired. And you're like, well, we need a system where people still get fired. You're like, you have to have that. It's like, job security? This is an illusion, okay? It doesn't exist. Job security should not be our concern. Job opportunity is our fucking concern, not security. Opportunity. So I agree with that. Now, on the other side, I disagree with suddenly saying, well, corporations will fucking take care of us. I'm like, when we stop nationalizing many of the projects here, including, you know, many of our services, we started noticing that they ran really bad. Just as bad, in fact. Because while the companies were more efficient, they were very efficient at taking everybody's money and then fucking using substandard building materials. Shit. Now that didn't work either. Like, who would have guessed that a company would have tried to cheap out on this whole thing? And I mean, I feel like we're so predictable, but the problem is on both sides, they don't want to talk. They're like, you're my enemy. Ideologically, we're opposed, so we can have no fucking consensus. And I'm like, oh, great. I see a lot of solutions coming up. I only see more people being fucking divided. Look at the states. I mean, dude, come on. You're not telling me that place looks like it wants to tear itself in half? It's pretty bad.
It is pretty bad.
And they don't even want to talk about reality. Hey, we have a debt problem. Yeah, well, I don't want to talk about it. Let's not come up with solutions either. Let's use this as a political opportunity to fuck people over. And you're like, man, it's very worrisome. So, yes, everyone out there, I understand, if I can just tie up this tangent, if you take the $70,000 job where they would destroy all your work, because yes, it's probably worth it now. Forget meaning in your work. Shake a bit.
Society's
clouds.
Going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah. Might as well just give up.
With that, please contribute $20 for a bonus show. Your hard-earned money. Or spend the $20, oh, I don't know. I wouldn't say stock up on food, because if society collapses, man, you're fucked. You are fucked. What are your skills?
Go have fun now. Get in debt.
Yeah,
get in debt while the credit's getting good.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Then we're going to go Fight Club style. Be like, oh yeah, I owe you money? Visa? No, I don't. Yeah, she... Okay, this girl from Lebanon, she... I can understand why the girl with the tattoo would be so, you know, would fight hard for her belief. Like, that tattoo itself is a statement, I think, to everybody else. Being like, you can't corrupt my beliefs. And I suppose there's a part that's admirable, but at the same time, you're like, man, it results in such tragedy. Like, here's a good example. In Indonesia, I had a fan who must remain nameless because he lives there, was telling me that things in Indonesia are getting worse. Worse for religious minorities. And specifically worse for religious minorities within Islam. Like, they're starting to, you know, many of the larger majorities are just starting to try to do a bit of house cleaning. There's a town in Indonesia a couple of years ago, about a year ago, I think we reported this on the site, but there was a sect of Islam called the
Congratulations. Fuck. First prize. Number one podcast.
You know what it was? It was the good. DLY. How am I supposed to fucking pronounce DLY, man? Amdali. That's what I'm going to say. I don't even care that it ends with an A. This sect that I cannot fucking pronounce to save my life believes essentially that their prophet, who existed just a couple of, about 5 or 6 decades ago? Anyways, he was supposed to be their new messiah, bring an era of peace, or whatever. He dies. They figure out some way around the fact that he dies. Sounds exactly like Christianity, right? The fucking shit keeps repeating itself. Anyways, they're like a weird Christian-Muslim thing. And plus, they are Muslim, but they believe that Jesus is going to come back. So it's like Muslims who believe in the end times that Jesus is coming back. But he's not coming back as a god. He's coming back as like an avenging angel. So that's not really what the mainstream sects of Islam believe. Because they're all like, it's the 13th Imam. Like, it's just... like it,
well, basically
stupid
all...
stupid eschatology.
The rest of the Muslim community is like, this isn't Islam. So...
Right. So at first, everything was going fine, like they were still going to the same mosques, this group and other mainstream mosques. But then something started to happen, and you'll notice this is always a trend, actually. Just read the history of, say, World War II. How do you commit genocide? Okay, step one, begin to marginalize and tease and ridicule a group for not believing exactly what you believe, which technically is what I'm doing now. But do so humorlessly. And second, make sure that they feel ostracized enough and threatened enough that eventually they create a splinter sect. So this group eventually decided no longer to go to the mosque because they felt uncomfortable. They felt like even threatened by people who were giving them like dirty looks, like get the fuck out of our town. So they build their own little compound with a couple homes, their own mosque, and predictably enough, now that they're isolated, everyone's like, huh, why don't they come to our mosque anymore? They're outsiders now, which makes things worse. So they decide, I guess after a couple of very, very young, very rowdy young, you know, men, I keep saying young, decide to get very,
young men,
murdery?
So hot and anger, full of hot anger, young
hot
men.
Anger. Hot, steaming anger.
Get all riled up. They get up to go and do, yeah.
You can figure it out. You can do it. Anyways, they decide that it's now time for these strangers to leave. So they set the place on fire, and two teenagers, including one by the name of Dani bin Mizra. Yes, nailed it. Tackles one guy down and smashes his head with a rock until it's pulp. So his trial just finished recently, and this is what the piece of news that I was sent... which is why it's kind of like a microcosm of what's happening. So this kid is in jail for 3 months, and then he's released with great cheers. All the villagers are like, "Yay! You've rid us of this group. You're a hero." And I don't know if you read some of the testimonials.
Yeah. No, I got one right here. Let me read it for you. "We had to clean our village," added Wildan bin Satim, 72. "There is no place here for the followers of a cult."
I love the one that basically said, "Well, it really sucks that this happened, but I'm glad they're gone." I'm like, "Well, I bet you that sounded like a really moral thing in your head." "Well, I'm sorry they had to die." but I'm pleased by the outcome, really.
Yeah, when you're reading what the villagers were saying about this religious group, I was really thinking, man, are they like, they more annoying than Scientologists or something? But it really just boils down to the fact that
they believe in something different.
They believe in something different, and it comes down to that whole idea of Muhammad wasn't the last prophet for them. They had another prophet, and as soon as Muhammad gets involved, ooh, that's a flashpoint. People say you're not Musliming right in that regard, and it usually gets heated, hot, young men up,
so steamed up with it. Hot anger and embarrassment. Oh, yeah.
But it's interesting, actually. I was reading some Amnesty International press releases, and they were mentioning the fact that, you know, this was the really bad one, because, number one, several people died. I think it was three people died.
It's either two dead, one seriously or gravely wounded, or probably in a coma.
And it was captured on film and uploaded onto YouTube, so the whole world got to watch that horrible shit.
I couldn't find it, and I was glad that I couldn't. And I'm not going to put a link if I do. So, fuck you, grim bastards.
But Amnesty International is like was talking about the result and how they're releasing this guy after 3 months. And basically, they talked about the fact that several other attacks have gone on. No one died, but once again, to see if this sounds familiar, a bunch of guys with machetes, clubs, and axes basically stormed one of these people's compounds, burned down their place, and told them to get the F out.
Did you just F on that one?
I did.
It was valid to say get the fuck out. Come on now.
Hey,
this is not for 12-year-olds, girls. This is for grown men and women that like to hear
hot,
the swearing.
Angry men full of hotness.
They're not all men. Some are hot girls with steamy hot action. I don't know. I hope.
I'm glad. I'm enjoying how we're really running that joke.
Well, you know what? It's probably 10% funnier than it normally would be because everyone misses it so much. It's like, trust me.
You have to be so. Stop being so self-congratulatory.
When you do. Oh, please. They call it crack. We're giving them the crack. Yeah. Speaking, you know what? That actually reminds me of a story from Friendly Atheist. Somebody sent me a link where Friendly Atheist had said a comment about moving to a new server. I think it's Pythos. I don't know what the fuck the new server is. Anyways, I think it's a terrible idea, but that's not the point. He's like, well, I'm not. I can't put any of the ads. And we had run an ad for 2 weeks on Friendly Atheist, and one person commented saying, I'm very glad that smug-looking ad is gone. Followed by somebody else said, yeah, he looks like a smug bastard. Although it was defended by a listener who said, in all fairness, Jacob does admit that he is smug, and that's part of his act. I'm like, that's how you properly respond to that. Yes, I am smug. What am I going to hide it? Huh? I went through a transformation, everybody. I'm not an arrogant son of a bitch. No, I'm still arrogant. That's why they listen to it. And you cut me down, which therefore brings me down. And everybody knows that, sure, he may be arrogant, but with cognitive dissonance, you can still feel awesome when you're obviously retarded. I have cognitive dissonance. What, you think you don't because you have a consistent worldview? Huh? You have cognitive dissonance about yourself. You're not awesome or special. But if you want to keep thinking, like, realizing that all the time and just accept that reality, then I feel sorry for you. Like, you embrace the delusion. Be like, I am awesome. Case closed.
So, before we get back to this village thing, this
yes.
Friendly Atheist moving over, is that time to those new blog group that everybody's going to? That thing? Or is it something different?
I don't know if it's everybody. I just know that he went to it, and I think Unreasonable Faith also.
But didn't Feringula just move off Science Blogs to another one, too?
It wasn't the same one, and I think that he was experimenting with it until that server crashed, because it couldn't handle his hot load.
Bit of an atheist reformation going on here, isn't there?
There is. Lots of changes happening. I think what's going on is that people are realizing, all right, we're getting kind of big here. Guys like Fringer are like, I want to make some money. And Friendly Atheist is like, probably, I don't want to work having to, you know, deal with my own site. I don't want to do that part of the job anymore. And who can blame him? It's a fucking shitty part of the job.
Web admin does suck.
Web admin is terrible. It takes away from your ability to make content, but it also sometimes takes away from your ability to own said content and control it the way you want, which is still something I like. So, networks for good atheists. Trust me, that's never fucking happening. I don't even care if they come with a truckload of money. It's not happening. I hate the idea that I would have done all of this so somebody else owns it. Yuck. Yuck. Already that I don't go crazy trying to prevent anybody who, you know, puts up some of our content. Like somebody, I know there's a couple websites that basically takes all of our content and reposts it. I'm like, you know what? I don't even want it on my site, so.
Very nice. But speaking of Reformation, this whole situation in Indonesia, one of the interesting things about it is because obviously I think this is a regular tenor of the radio show, especially when we're talking about Muslims in the Middle East and like all of those developing areas where the temptation is to talk about, oh, those Muslims, oh, those brown people, such uncivilized savages, we would never do... Stop.
They're not brown over there, though. They're yellow.
They're yellowish?
They're yellowish.
Okay, well, there we go. But we were no better. Just a couple, not barely over 100 years ago, we were all killing each other over religion as well. Protestants and Catholics have a rich history of killing each other that lasted for hundreds of years. In the 13th century, the Catholic Church wiped out Catharism in France. Completely wiped it out.
How many people was that, do you know?
Like over a million. It was a crusade, man.
Damn.
17th century, France again.
Yeah.
All of the Protestants were expelled from the country. Just get out. Out, out, out.
I also love how many times the King of England borrowed monies from a bunch of Jews and then decided when it was time to pay back, get out or I'll kill you.
Yep. Yeah, always, especially, so nice. even North America, in America, the U.S. of A., 19th century, Catholics were routinely persecuted and lynched. After being a black man, the worst thing you could be is an Italian Roman Catholic.
Yeah, and let's not forget that the whole Serbian Croat shit that we used to, that's religion, okay? Those weren't ethnic groups based on, you know, genetic diversity.
Well, I will say more along the lines of it was always that religious those religious differences that were used to really dehumanize the other side and make it okay to kill them.
Well, I was it's funny too to consider you have a book out there called Your Inner Fish.
Yeah.
Your Inner Fish. And he talks in the beginning about how you know, when you look at the history of human development and stuff like that, you can tell about us from the history of how we've developed. And I almost wish that sometimes we kind of like take that approach when we look at, you know, just any old ideology. Like, look at what happened before. Like, look at the structure of how it is, and you'll get to understand the whole. So what is the structure of religion? What is it based on? What is the premise of religion? Well, first of all, it says we are right, and everyone else that disagrees, and it could be a slight disagreement, depends on how fervent you want to fucking make it.
You'd just be an addition of a prophet. Oops. time to burn.
Oh, one new guy interpreted it one way, and now let's fucking fight. The door, the invitation to that kind of stuff is always there. It doesn't matter where it comes from. Right now, the big boy is Islam because they haven't really benefited from, say, a lot of modern ethics that we've kind of developed over the years. I mean, do we get our morality from religion? No. I mean, find me a couple of examples of, just three examples of you using religion on a daily basis, or at least morality derived from religion. Three examples. I fucking dare you to come up with them. You won't, because if it was derived from religion, even at its best, let's say you say the New Testament, just as an example, you're like, well, I'm going to grab from the good stuff that Jesus said. So after you're done the golden rule and, you know, turn, or love your neighbor as you love yourself, the other stuff doesn't actually make any sense. Turn the other cheek when someone attacks, do not recommend doing it, okay? If you are attacked, you might either need to run away or attack yourself. Like, do not just turn the other cheek. That's how you get killed. Or what about the rest of the stuff? It's like Jesus, like, abandon your families. Whoa! Like, no, man, you don't use that kind of mentality. No. But we have this, we have amnesia when it comes to history. We choose not only to not learn it, but to not learn from it. That's our greatest fucking tragedy.
Yeah, it's one of those regular things that I like to bring up on the show is we ain't shit. We think we're all hot and stuff. Our Protestant, Catholic, whatever the hell you are, if you, regardless of what your family's religion used to be, all your ancestors were as giant, as big a dickholes as these people over here being now.
Yeah, the world that you live in was still carved by a bunch of white psychopathic men. Like, the psychopaths decided all the rules. It's not the nice people, it's the psychos, because they tend to have a lot of power, and violence gets shit done. Maybe you can develop a shirt out of that. Violence.
Well, there's there's another that is a modification of that, but yes.
Yeah, slavery gets it done. Which is, I could prove to you economically that that's not true. It's better to pay people, even when you're a government, because the money comes back to you in taxes. Anyways, I want to move to our last point, because I think we've said everything we can say on this topic, or is there something else?
Yeah, pretty much.
I want to move on to this one. I think this story is indicative of what happens to religions that still try to keep their literal roots, and that's evangelism in the United States is the hardline religion, right? Like that, if you look at all the other religions, even the Orthodox in the U.S., or I'm trying to think of some, you know, most of the other mainline Protestants, the Catholics, you wouldn't say that they were as literal as most of the evangelicals.
Like, yeah, I mean, one of the core tenets of evangelicalism is basically that the Bible is true. It's the literal word of God.
Yeah, that's a really important part of the faith. And now what's happening is that people who are intelligent, who pursue educational careers, and who decide to do science, but who have maintained their religious roots, are starting to say, well, I cannot continue to believe that Adam and Eve is real when all of the evidence says that it isn't.
I love those Christian people that try to reconcile faith and science, because the ones that are honest, they always end up just kicking the legs out from under religion. Their compromises always go science's way, and I like that.
Yes. I mean, I think we're fully aware of the range of ways that people can convince themselves that there isn't a dissonance there. Like, there'll be scientists who will use this idea that, well, if we understand nature, then we understand God. And I would say, well, if you look at the track record of understanding nature, it has been pretty destructive to the idea of God. Specifically to the, you know, to the ideas that, say, human beings 6,000 years ago sinned, and that allowed for a young Palestinian carpenter to be killed, which makes everything all better. So, I mean, you have these evangelical scientists that, you know, like Francis Collins, for instance, who ran the Human Genome Project. He's an evangelical Christian. He doesn't think that there's an incompatibility there, despite the fact that he should know better. Because, you know, that simple question of saying, well, when the evidence tells you that there's no DNA evidence suggesting that we were two people. In fact, with your knowledge of DNA, you know that you can't get lower than 10,000. That's the lowest we can get. But that is as close to Adam and Eve as you get. A basic population of apes that barely, you know, that barely survive some horrible catastrophic meteor shower.
Yeah, and this is what everybody's arguing about right now, is that whether or not there was really an Adam and Eve. And obviously, the answer is quite clearly no. Anybody with any kind of grasp on science will tell you, no, that's a retarded, stupid story. Unfortunately, evangelicals had to kind of have to stick to it because of that point that you were bringing up, was that, you know, without Adam and Eve, there's no Garden of Eden, which means there's no eating the apple, which was the original sin, which is why all the horrible things on planet Earth happen, which is why women have a horrible time giving birth, which is why Jesus had to come down to save us from our sins, because Adam ate that apple. Yeah. So without Adam, you have no purpose for Jesus to be around. It's this hilarious domino effect. It really fucks up a lot
of stuff.
Well,
it unravels the entire story, because the story, the premise of the story is based on something false, which is, again, that surprising conversation that you have to have with these delusional people saying your beliefs are false. Now, the second conversation I think we need to have with these people is there's nothing wrong with having false beliefs. We have them all the time. So do you think that you came into this world with all the right ideas about how things fucking work? I mean, I know that it was really embarrassing when you finally realized that Santa wasn't real, but you got over it. And I think you're prouder now knowing that Santa does not exist, rather than continuing to hold on to it because you're like, well, everything else will fall apart. I've been believing this my whole life. If I don't have that, I'll have nothing. That is a fallacy, pal. What you have is a stupid belief, but everything else around it is probably pretty real. Your belief that your wife loves you? Well, I hope it's real. It's probably real, despite your delusion. I hope you don't love your wife because of the delusion, though. That would also be pretty messed up. Although I'm sure that exists out there. Some sad motherfuckers listening to us right now is like, my wife's a believer, I'm in hell. Oh, man. Sorry about the 2-week vacation, man. I hope you're all right. Shit. Got a rough time. The cool thing, too, I think about this is evangelicals, there's this one, I forget who said this, they eat their young. They're incapable of allowing any divergence from it. So if you have one guy who's like, decides, no, there's no Adam and Eve, the others will try to attack him. It's almost like an immune response that's too strong. And when they do that, they attack themselves because they begin to expose the fact that there really is no ecumenism or that's religious agreement, even in evangelical circles. I mean, it's all different shit when it boils down. And when you start putting a bit of pressure on them to be united, they fall, they crumble. They can't handle the truth.
They can't agree on anything because there are just thousands of tiny little evangelical sects, all of them with their own super pastor or whatever, until he gets caught being gay or molesting children. And then I guess you go to another church with another slightly different set of beliefs. Just a little bit different.
I'm a slightly disgraced pastor, but I sure am charismatic. Let's go somewhere else.
I was only convicted of fraud.
The rape charge didn't stick. Well, you know what I always found that was hilarious is that a lot of criminals, they choose the kind of evangelical circuit. Like, if I come out of there and I just wave a Bible around, it'll be way easier than stealing from people. I mean, did you read about that evangelical pastor found in New York in his hotel room dead of a cocaine overdose? I don't think a lot changed when he went out of fucking jail and decided that he was going to be a preacher. Born again?
Yeah.
You bet. Because everyone always gets born again every weekend. Oh shit, I fucked up. Time to get born again. Yeah. The born again process, if it was just a one time and it's good, maybe it would work, but it's not. It's like just step into this machine that cleanses all the bad things you do, but doesn't really make a difference in the real world. You're like, well, Jesus forgave my sins. I don't need to pay you back for the TV I stole. Yeah, because I want him to forgive you, idiot. Okay, I think that pretty much wraps it up for the evangelical thing. I don't know if we can rip into them much more other than saying, good luck trying to square that one. I'm sure you'll feel stupid when you finally get it, buddy, where you're like, oh, wait, if I just remove this nonsense, I mean, even when you think it's allegorical, it's still a shitty allegory, pal. There's better stuff out there. Why don't you grab another book on other mythologies that are way more interesting than your hippie friend? And by the way, here's a question. Now, Jesus is a carpenter, right? And he's clearly identified as a carpenter. Now, he basically, for the majority of his youth, in his 20s, he's never heard of. Here's what's weird. If he's a god and he's a carpenter, how come no one, like, has any... Like, how come he never left any works that anyone would say, like, wow, what a quality craftsmanship. It was made by a god. He wasn't even a good carpenter.
I bet you there are tons of bullshit relics across Eastern Europe of supposed Jesus carpentry.
Man, I want to get into that. You know, Jesus carved ducks or something. I don't know what you carved back then. What would you carve?
I'm not sure what they carved. I'm sure it was all functional building stuff.
I don't think it's necessarily that different. We carve stupid animals and crappy shit. I think only the good stuff survived, but you don't think they had their equivalent of shitty ceramic cats that are licking each other? You don't think they had that kind of crap, kitschy garbage?
So you figure Jesus spent his early years making Jesus junk?
Well, it certainly is a kind of Christian thing. I think he was probably starting... He started the tradition of making shitty things but selling it to delusional people.
Well, none of his works have lasted, except perhaps his teachings, so...
His teachings that are often conflicting. Yay! Okay, well, before we leave, I'd like to remind everyone that, yeah, we're going back to regular scheduled programming, so for now, it's Tuesdays and Thursdays. You get a bonus show if you become a paying patron, so please... We appreciate the support. If you're a hardcore member and you have not communicated back with me, because I've been trying to get in touch with everyone, we're still planning on sending out those shirts, but I don't have enough addresses to send most of these out. And if you don't want my Jesus Saves one, which has obviously been told that it is lame, then I don't blame you for it. And you can just tell me and I'll send you the next one. But if you still think that it's cool, because I think it's cool, then you can have it. But you need to let me know. I don't want to send you a shirt you don't want, okay? I don't want to be that guy.
You can wipe your butt with it.
Shut up, man. Those are my feelings. Also, check out the notes about that story, the evangelical story. There's an NPR article that I linked that basically just talks all about it. You guys just check always check out the notes. It's in the lyrics section if you're using iTunes or if you're using, like, Android. The notes are cool. Visit the notes. All right, with that, my name is Jacob Fortin.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.